Father, thank you for the precious Lamb of God. Thank you for Jesus. And oh, how gentle and loving. And Lord, the soothing power of the blood, it just pours forth today upon us, Lord God. And you're our rest, Lord. You're our peace. Lord, the peace that passes all understanding, the sound mind that you give us with your sound words. Lord, let us just hear you today. As the Father said to those long time ago, hear him. Hear him. Help us to hear you. We're sheep that know your voice. We're sheep that hear your voice. But Lord, that ear that you've given, let us listen and hear the Spirit today. Let it go down deep. Let it just settle. Lord, let it begin to flush everything else out. There's a life in here today. There's a life in here today that I know, Lord God, that needs a move on out of here to a vision that I'm seated over there. We thank you, Lord. We give you such praise, honor, the magnificence of your beauty and your presence because we've gathered here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 14. We're going to be moving a lot of places in the Word of God today, so don't get upset. Pastor, going too fast. Well, start running. There we go. I don't have time. Romans 14, verse 10. How beautiful. It says here, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And as you look into that as well, it's going on right now. It's not for a future time. That also translates that work, that manifestation of this wonderful encouragement of the beautiful judgment, as we'll talk about, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for us, is going on right now. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And he is speaking here of Christians, to take it in context. This is all believers. Must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now the judgment seat of Christ, to many, is such a mysterious thing. To a lot of Christians I'm talking about, it's even a treacherous thing. But to us with enlightened eyes of understanding, there's never been a more glorious thing. And that's what we're going to let the Word of God tell us today, is how glorious and how rewarding, how inviting, and how beautiful is the judgment seat of Christ to us who believe. Now, let's first let the Word explain it. And first off, I want to make sure we understand that the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne of judgment are two completely opposite things. The great white throne of judgment, which you will read about in Revelation chapter 20, is where all sinners will come before that great white throne of judgment, and they will be judged. And every one of them will be guilty. There is no other verdict for a sinner but guilty, because they denied the blood. That's a sinner. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is completely the opposite. It is for all believers. And it's not for judging sin, because for a believer that was all taken care of on the cross. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's just let the Word go line upon line. Or as a brother said, oh, I love it when the Holy Ghost just connects the dots. It's simple. Praise the Lord. Get rid of this. Let the Word of God effectually answer and cause you to believe what the Word of the Lord says. It's not judging us for sin. It's judging us for reward. Now, the white throne of judgment for sinners, that occurs at the end of the millennium. Whereas the judgment seat of Christ, for us who believe, it goes on right now. Right now. Right now. As you are living, that's when this applies especially to your life. Praise God. We are being judged for reward. as the word of the Lord tells us, will your life be that of gold, silver, and precious stone, or are you building a life of wood, hay, and stubble? Now, I want you to understand this. Wood, hay, and stubble doesn't mean it is necessarily things that man would look at that would be things that would be bad. Wood, hay, and stubble is when you don't go after the word of God. You're wasting your life. See, the Lord wants you to have a fat soul. He doesn't want you to have a lean soul. He wants that thing fat. He wants stall-fed calves. He wants, as you will, fat sheep. Amen. So let's eat on strong meat and we will grow up in that fatness. It speaks of that wonderful land of Canaan that was just overflowing with the abundance of the promise of God. Now I want you to think about this. Think about this. Christ right now is judging us for reward. Yes, he is. No doubt about that. The word of God tells us that. And also, Christ right now, as he is judging us for reward, is also seated at the right hand of the Father that is known as the throne of grace. So praise be to God, I believe that we can rightly divide this and accept and embrace that the judgment seat of Christ is the throne of grace. Okay, let's wake up now. The judgment seat of Christ is also known as the wondrous throne of grace. Oh, praise God. I don't think you're awake yet. You'd be standing up just roaring and praising him for that abundance of revelation. Now, Hebrews chapter 4. Listen to what it says here. How marvelous. Because see, since he is judging us for reward, where does he plead us, in a sense, plead with us to go boldly to right now? To the throne of grace. He wants us to receive a full reward. How do we grow? We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? So is not that the reward? Is take the grace of God? Isn't that what Brother Paul said? I didn't make the grace of God vain in my life. I took it. I am what I am by the grace of God. How wonderful. We know that that is the marvelous reward that is going on right now. Amen? Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain, what? Mercy. Mercy. You need mercy. You need to love mercy. You need to praise him for his mercy. You need to glory in his mercy. I have heard it before, and I've heard it recently again. Oh, you're looking for mercy. What did you do wrong? Oh, God forbid we would say anything like that. That's absolutely against the word of God. That is a foolish statement. It's a condemning statement. You better know that. And you better begin to praise and rejoice and thank God with every fiber of your being for the mercy of the Lord that he tells you, come boldly to the throne of grace and get mercy. Praise God. You want to fall in love with the Lord? There's one way. It's going to come through that mercy. It is. It truly is. Looking at the beautiful work of the Lord, of what should have been, and beyond what he has given you in replace. Oh, Jesus. So we come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that doesn't mean in the times of need. That means to understand you are 24/7 needy. That is the most full, joyous, thankful life there is, that lays at the throne of grace, that prays at the throne of grace, that praises and rejoices and comes boldly in fervent love to kiss him at the throne of grace to thank him for mercy. Amen. How wonderful. Come on. Now, you go on over. To find this grace, look at that, we go to the throne of grace, but you go over to Hebrews 11:6, and what does it say there? But without faith, it's impossible to please him, right? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So once again, where are you going to find him? Where are you going to go to get him and to get that reward? You're going to go to the throne of grace. It's where all the rewards are. It's where everything is. It's the abundance. And see, that's the beautiful thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We know that. And here it is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's God, and that he's a rewarder of them that what work? Them that are good? Them that are do all the doees? No. What does it say? He's a rewarder of them that seek him. Who was seeking Jesus all throughout the New Testament there when he was here? You know who it was? It was those people that were blind, that had an issue of blood, that were lame. They're all people that needed help, that knew that they had a need. Aren't you thankful? You thank him right now for the infirmities that he's given you? You thank him for the trials? Hallelujah. It was hard for me to thank him for honorary kids. But it increased my faith. It increased my faith like almost nothing else. I smile thinking that as these kids are hearing me. That doesn't mean go be an ornery. Well, I'm just increasing your faith, Mom and Dad. Pastor said I needed to help you. But isn't he wonderful? Do you see your life in that? Do you see how perfect he's made you for him? That need. You get it now. He loves you. I always wondered, as a young person, I always wondered, why? Why do I feel this way all the time? Why do I feel weak? People don't know what's going on in me. Why do I need you so, Jesus? Why do I ache? I'm beginning to know more and more. Because he loves me. And he had to set that all up perfectly. Perfectly for you and for me. We're different. Beautifully different. That you realize that everything about your life is structured for you to go boldly to the throne of grace. To fill up the need. And what are you going to fill up the need with? Reward. See, he's going to reward you. He's going to reward you more grace. He's going to reward you more mercy. You don't want to change anything about you. He wants you just as I am. Amen? He wants you going right in there. And he'll fill it up. Reward so much. Oh my goodness. He's just going to have to make you a bigger vessel to carry it all out. And he'll do it. Doesn't he? Praise God. That's what the wineskins do. They expand. Now going over to Romans 9. I can't see a verse in here, so we're going to have to go by Holy Ghost memory. Oh my, here we go. Romans 9, verse 23, gets better. That he might make known the riches, listen to this. This is what he wants to do on you. That he might make known the riches of his glory. Not just glory, but the riches of his glory. On the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. See, he doesn't want you to just behold the glory. He wants you to be that vessel that he bestows the riches of his glory. We're going to a different level. Praise God, we're going into the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're moving from salvation to salvation with eternal glory. We're talking about being clothed, praise God, with the righteousness of saints. We're talking about the calling, praise God. Will you be my wife? Will you descend? And they got to go to a high mountain to see you, honey, as you descend from heaven having my glory, the glory of God. Oh, and she's lit up with me because her light. Oh, yeah. I love the moon. But I'll tell you what, I treasure the sun. Oh, yeah. I love to look at that moon. But I'll tell you what, especially us that go through a winter, didn't it feel good the last couple days? Here comes the sun. Amen. And it's got light. Sun, glory, light. You want that glory? You can have it. He wants you to have it. That's what his whole intent and purpose is, for you to be that abounding light with him. Praise God. So, he's going to bestow the riches of his glory on his vessels of mercy. Now, we know where we get that mercy, don't we? Amen. Oh, fill me up. I want all the riches of your glory on this vessel. You want just part some? Or you want to fill me up? Amen. Dripping. Praise God. Okay. Here we go. Well, then we can conclude that the ones that will be rewarded the most are the vessels who take the most mercy and grace. See, you're somebody in there, well, I don't need mercy. My life's good. I'm a good person. Oh, you really need mercy. You don't realize how bad you need mercy. You need to get in there and, like, bake in mercy. Huh? Baste me up, Lord. Praise God. Come on. You get this. I can see it percolating in you. The vessels who praise him continually for his mercy and grace are going to be the ones that are clothed with that, because that is the riches of his glory. It's the riches of his glory. It's his mercy and grace. That's the beauty of Jesus. It's grace. That's when they saw him. He that is full of grace and truth. He has the glory of God. He's got that love that just pours forth, that oozes out. Let him pour it all over you. See, that's who the cherubim are. You hear us talk about that if you just visit once in a while. You really need to know about these things. These are those wonderful mysteries that were hidden and just kind of locked up, if you will, in the Old Testament. And they spoke of these things. But then we got the Apostle Paul, and he got that mystery from the Lord and opened it all right up. And in the opening it up, praise the Lord, we go walking through the Old Testament and we say, oh my, this is what this means and this is what that means and all of these different things. But without understanding Paul's gospel, you're not going to see these things. You're going to say, there's that guy talking about that cherubim again. What is that? Well, the cherubim were the top or the lid, if you will, of the mercy seat. There was a mercy seat. That's where they'd come in and they'd pour that blood. It was in the Holy of Holies back in there. And that priest would go in there once a year to offer that. No one else would go in there. If anybody else went in there, they were dead. That priest went in there at any other time, he was dead. But what was back in there all the time was the blood. And out of that mercy seat, that was one piece of beaten gold, beaten. Sounds like suffering together, amen? Out of that mercy, you know what came out of it? Two cherubims, boom, on each side of that mercy seat. And they had wings that went over the mercy seat, and they touched one another. Can you imagine? Tightly fit and compacted together. Do you see what happens when you yield to God, and here you are just feeding at this trough? What it does to the family of God, what it does to your pastor, praise God, this encouragement that the Lord brings into us. But there they were, the cherubim that represent those that are the full overcomers in Christ, those cherubim that you'll see, the four living ones, those cherubim that are in Revelation chapter 4 that represent the bridal company that are in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning together with Jesus Christ. He gave us that type. He gave us that metaphor back in the Old Testament, back in the Holy of Holies, back on that lid of the ark, that wonderful mercy seat where all the blood was poured out. Here came out of that mercy seat those two cherubim, the bridal ones. They were always in the Holy of Holies. They were always set apart. But there was one thing about them. Not only were they made out of mercy, their eyes were affixed in one place, right back on the mercy seat. All they look at is the blood. All they do is they lift those wings and praise God for his mercy. They didn't say, oh, I'm so great, I'm made one with God, and look at me. Look at him. That's all they do. All they do is they look at him, and they look at that mercy, and they praise him for that grace. They praise him for that love. There's a lowliness that percolates, that goes on all the time in our life, because we thank God for his wonderful Son. That's our life. It's just a praise to his son. And it's so wonderful. People wonder, how can you just praise Jesus all the time? How could you not? And you know how you do, and it just becomes this fervent praise, is you need to know him. You need to know why you praise him. You need to know why you thank him all the time. You need to know why that your pastor sings in a closet. And I begin to praise him in tongues as I'm driving the car, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He changed me. Because this changed me. The word of God will always change you. This is why your lives, by the grace of God, as you yield, you see it happening. And when you're stuck, I'll give you the answer. You're not in this. When there's leanness, when there's chaos, you're not in this. This isn't in you. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about where it's the mind of Christ in you. The word of God is always in you because Christ came to dwell in you when you accepted him as Savior. But that word, all powerful. Yes, where I can just count my blessings as the enemy comes on me or whatever it is when the Lord allows the enemy to come. Well, hold on, enemy. Let me see. I'm counting this blessing. Oh, you don't like that? Well, let me count this one too. And let me count this one and this one. Matter of fact, what I'm doing is I'm saying it is written. Amen? So see, this is again that beautiful life of the mercy and the grace. So see, even Christ, think of this mercy. Even Christ told the Pharisee. See, that Pharisee, he was in his house. Christ went there. And there was a purpose. And the purpose wasn't the Pharisee. The purpose was the woman that hadn't stopped crying since he had been there. That hadn't stopped washing his feet with her tears. And that Pharisee said, oh, yeah, if he was the Christ, he wouldn't even, if he knew that woman, if he really was all-knowing, he wouldn't even let him touch her. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus just sat there real still, honey. You just keep touching my feet all over. You pour it all over me. And before it was done, this is what Christ told him. He said, the one who is forgiven the most loves the most. Did you hear that? The one who is forgiven the most loves the most. That don't mean that you have to go out there and do a bunch of bad stuff because you're already a bad dude. You were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. It's all the same. It's sin that he took us out of. Praise God. And just to begin to praise him all the time. Praise God for the mercy. Hallelujah. And that mercy, I'm telling you, when you begin to praise him for that, you fall in love. And you become so full of that, all of those things that are still hounding you. And I know you got some. Because you'd be out of here if you didn't. Those things, by the grace of God, will be things that you don't think about. Maybe not as much anymore. And then someday, as the Lord shows you his faithfulness, well, my goodness, that guy's gone. You know it. Come on, you can praise him a little bit for that. See, get out of your self-righteousness and get into mercy. Get into mercy. That's why, praise God, in Jude verse 21, be looking for mercy till your salvation. Do you see how it does? Do you see how all of this? See, sometimes we miss this. You can't miss this. It's a treasure. It's a treasure of your life. Matter of fact, it's the reward. It's that judgment seat of Christ's reward where you go boldly to the throne of grace to get. And then there's even more. The judgment seat in Greek means bema, B-E-M-A. The judgment seat of Christ is bema. And that comes from the Greek word. And the Greek meaning was the judge of the Olympic Games. The judge of the Olympic Games sat on that bema seat. And he was there not to punish the contestants. It wasn't to punish contestants. It was to reward and present awards to the victors. Specifically, he would even give rewards to first place, second place, third place. There was a reward, praise God. But that judge, I want you to understand this. He wasn't judging everybody. He was only judging those that were qualified. Do you get that? He was only there to judge those that were qualified and had the right to compete. And that, brothers and sisters, is us. If you have the blood of the Lamb, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, you're competing. Yeah, you are. You're qualified. Hallelujah. You're called. You're chosen. You're accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. We are the runners in the race. We're not trying to qualify. You're not even in a qualifying heat. You're in the finals. And you got one shot. Praise God. And it isn't for nervous, oh, I got one shot. No, you run, and you run gladly and boldly, and you run with joy. I always love to see those great runners. That one guy, Johnson, man, when he won all of those Olympics, man, that guy looked like he was just, it didn't even look like he was moving. His legs were underneath him, and he would kind of smile at people, and here he was going. You know what I'm saying? It was a joy because everything was working right. He wasn't out there floundering, going this way and that. It was, whew. And man, when that finish line was there, he wasn't looking back and forth. I know that Bolt guy, he looked back and forth. He got beat a couple times doing that too. He said, I ain't going to do that no more. But I love that Johnson man. He just looked at that line and he said, this is joy because I know I'm winning. And there ain't nobody going to catch me. Do you know how much that grace is for you? Do you know that the Lord already laid it out? He told you, you're more than a conqueror. You're more than a winner. It's a won. The victory's been won. You have that. You have that life. You have that promise. Praise God that he has given to you. Now, brothers and sisters, know this. There's no more judging of us in a sense of wrong. We're being judged. Are we running well? Are we laying aside every weight of indifference? That's what it is. We're being judged. Are we going to be the one that excels them all? And how are you going to excel them all? By going to get more grace and mercy. I don't compare myself amongst selves. We don't do that. This is our own individual race. Praise God. We know that. I'm not competing with you. I want to supply for you to run well. And you know how I do that? Running well. By taking more grace and mercy for my own life. For believing God in that beautiful love, that unconditional, absolute, powerful love for my life. That he wants this for me more than anything. And that's the same for every single one of us, brothers and sisters. Because that is the first love that will finish with a full joy. That's what full joy is. I'm seeing it more and more all the time. That's why I tell people all the time, don't fall out of love in your home. These couples getting married, I said, this is the most powerful thing that's ever happened in your life and probably will ever happen in your natural lives, is the power to leave your home and absolutely say, I'm yours. I mean, it's crazy if you think about it. But that's what love is. That's what in love is. It's that powerful. But you think about, then we go off right away trying to worry about other things as opposed to the best thing we ever had, which was staying and being in love. How much more so with the Lord, and as you receive this Paul's gospel and you know it. Think these young guys, I see you as the Lord's been lighting that up in your life, honey. Never leave that. Ask your daddy, it's the joy of joys. Ask grandpa, there ain't anything else. I just want to be more in love. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's close this up. Romans 8, 33 and 34. It says, it only gets better. I'm telling you, it's this full joy just gets better. Who shall lay anything, to the charge of God's elect? Don't you love that? Oh, man, that gives me such big, bold steps. I mean, I'm just like, whoa, he's enlarged my steps. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That means even you can't lay it down. Isn't that wonderful? That included you if you're going to lay there in unbelief. It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. And listen to this. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now you stay with this because this is it. This is it. Christ not only is not judging us for wrong, he is constantly defending us from it. That's what mercy does. That's what the throne of grace does. He's defending us from it. Hallelujah. This is marvelous, brothers and sisters. He's defending us from the accuser of the brethren. That's Satan. It's mercy 24/7. And the defense every time for everything that nothing can stand against is his blood. His blood. It's the blood of the Lamb. We are justified. It's just as if we never sinned. Just like it says in 1 John chapter 3. Know this. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. Whosoever is born of God. Is everybody born of God in here? I pray we're all saved in here. If you're not, just call on the name of Jesus right now. We got 100%. Believe him. Believe in your heart. Confess him. He's mine. That's born of God. So we're all born of God. Whoever is born of God, what does it say? Doth not commit sin. Quit thinking. Take the word of God and shut up. I'm sorry to say it, but we just got to shut up. I'm tired of it. Quit arguing. Believe the word of God. Believe the word of God. Once again, whosoever is born of God, that's me, that's you, doth not commit sin. For why? For his seed remaineth in him. You got the new life. You're brand new. Old things, they're all passed away. You are brand new. The life that lives in you is Jesus Christ. No other life. Get it. Believe it. Live that victory. It will change and transform your life. You'll quit listening to lies. You'll quit following lies. That allows lies to appear on your life that is not who you are in Christ. You get that? Amen. But it even gets better. So whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for the seed remains in him. And what? He cannot sin because he is born of God. You got sufficient witness in there. You get it two different times. Because he knows we'll doubt. And it's time and time again, brothers and sisters. So, since we by the blood cannot sin, and we have no sin, the only judging there could ever be is how much are you going to grow in grace. Do you get that? How much are you going to grow in the knowledge of my grace? How much are you going to grow, praise God, in my love? We are qualified, but will we go forth and win? Will we win it? Hallelujah. Will we win Christ? Will we be that bride? I'm telling you, know this, and I mean it. Jesus Christ is the biggest cheerleader there's ever been. He is cheering for you. He is empowering you. He wants you to win. And he's telling you 24/7, it's you, honey. It's you. He has a way of doing that individually with us. Listen to him say that. It's you. It's you. Quit wasting your life. Wake up right now. It is you. It's you. This is why he brought you in to hear this message. Praise be to God. You are my beloved. And my desire is toward you. What do you think that means? That's the husband speaking. Listen to him. You are my beloved. My desire is toward you. So instead, think of this as we close this up. Instead of what we all deserved. You know what we all deserve? The most horrible death and hate beyond comprehension for eternity. But because of his rich mercy. And that's what mercy does. It doesn't just replace something. It gives you completely the opposite of what you should have had. Complete opposite. So in the most hate, the most doom, the most painful, horrible place forever, instead what he did is he said, look, I'm going to give you the most abundant life there could ever be. I'm going to give you the greatest love to the extent of a husband and wife love. Oh, now wait. Love his mercy. Love his mercy. Praise him for his grace. Be a vessel. The riches of his glory. You're the riches of his glory, brethren. That's why he brought us this way. That's why we're all who we are. Why we're all different in here. Every single beautiful one of us is because he's showing us, I ain't no respecter of person. I'm going to pour it forth on those that love one thing, my mercy and grace. Amen? Let's pray. Praise God. Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you today. And Lord, I thank you, God, that your vessels of mercy and grace, you know what, we're becoming bold in your love, God, that we just move in that. And Lord, thank you that we know that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. God, let us diligently just know that we're needy all the time and come seek the reward of your mercy and grace. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.